person that oversees them who's going to speak today, Emma Wilkinson. Bless her this morning. Amen. Thanks, Em.
Good morning, church. Oh, dear. Hey, yeah, before I start, I just really want to honour Nigel and Andrea as our senior ministers. And, you know, I've worked with them for a number of years now and they are incredibly patient with me. And, you know, they have such great leadership and vision and a big heart for God and His house and His kingdom. And I just want you to really applaud them this morning and honour them this morning for their leadership that they give us. And I also wanted to honour my husband, Richard. So, you know, working for the church requires a lot of support and encouragement. And Richard, you're just an incredible husband. And I just really want to honour and I respect all that you do for me in supporting me in the work that I do. And, yeah, love doing life with you and adore you to bits. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that will bring your word into people's hearts and minds today. Father, I just thank you for what you are going to do today. Lord, we just come before you with an openness to receive your word. Father, that we would respond to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So, connect groups. I'm going to go straight into the word. So Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. Paul says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." If you read back in Hebrews 10, it's talking about the second covenant. It's talking about Christ's sacrifice once and for all, that we, as Susan said, have complete forgiveness of our sins. We don't coming back and offering animal sacrifices or burnt offerings towards God to receive forgiveness. In Hebrews 10, Christ has made that sacrifice for us once and for all. And so the hope we have is that we can come boldly before God into his presence with thanksgiving and praise, knowing that, we have an eternal hope. Our hope is in eternity and being in heaven and seated at the, you know, with Jesus and with God. And this is the hope that Hebrews 10 verses 23 to 25 is talking about. We need to hold tightly to that hope that we have in God in our salvation. He can be trusted. God can be trusted. And so as a response to that, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good deeds. Let us not neglect meeting together, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I know Reese talked about this last week. You know, time is of essence. The day of Christ's return is always near, and the days that he has given each one of us is numbered. There will come a day where we will stand before God, held accountable for how we loved, how we encouraged each other, and how we carried out his will. So there is such urgency for us to hold tightly to our salvation, to trust God without any doubts and to encourage one another as we meet together. This scripture is talking about church, corporate getting together and in those intimate groups and relationships that we have in us and our connect groups. So we need to not neglect meeting here in church. We need to come here and worship corporately. We need to be in his house. And we also need to have small groups. It's the two together. So the title of my message this morning is Stir Up Love. I want you guys to really stir up loving each other and encouraging each other. And so talking about encouragement is the active ingredient to bring people to life, to love, to fulfillment. Encouragement calls out a person's invaluable gifts, those gems that we see in people, those gifts that God has given them, to a full expression of who God designed them to be. Encouragement believes in people, it gives hope, and it gives life. I was, you know, thinking about the word encouragement and how that has been in my life, and it reminded me of before Richard and I were dating. We both of us individually would actually go running and walking along the river up near Adderdale and East Rio, and didn't realise it until we started going out that we both would actually go along the same strip of footpath. And, you know, I really wanted to be fit, and, you know, walking and running is it's challenging to do it by yourself. But I did it. Anyway, so when we started dating, we would go running together. And, oh, my goodness, we had so much fun. We just, you know, we used to stretch together. I would fall over because I didn't have much balance. He would hold me up. We just got so smelly. It was just, you know, but we had so much fun. I remember laughing pretty much the whole way. But what was really, really incredible was there's a point where when you're running, you kind of hit this wall, okay? And running by myself, I would often hit that. And then I'd stop and slow down. Anyway, so when I was running with Richard and I was hitting this wall, he would encourage me. He's like, come on, just go a little bit further, you know? Like, let's just go to the next tree or to the next bend or something. And with his encouragement, I was able to push through that. When you push through that wall, all these magical chemicals, you know, get released in your body and you're just flying. It's just amazing. And, you know, had I not had that experience of that encouragement from Richard, I don't know whether I'd ever been able to get through that wall. It's really, really tough. And then you can just run forever and ever. It's the best thing. And the same with Richard. So we're different sizes. It would take him a bit longer to get to that place. So obviously I was flying by then, and when he was kind of, oh, you know, then I would encourage him. Come on, you can do it. Let's keep going. So we really are meant to do life together. And the power of encouragement is an incredible thing. We are to encourage each other to love. As believers, God's children, you know, we need to keep our relationships at the forefront of our lives. So important that we do meet together, that we do encourage each other in our faith, and we need to spur one another on to be all that God has created us to be, and to spur one another on to love. So my first point is encourage to love. Encourage is a verb, it's an action, it gives support, it gives confidence, it gives hope to someone, as I said before. It stimulates the development of an activity. Encouragement has to do with inspiring and giving courage to somebody. The Greek translation of Hebrews 10:24 is actually to excite each other to love. We need to be excited, we need to be passionate when we encourage. We need to be passionate encouragers, you know, like just like people at the sporting teams. You know, when we spent 4 years in Canberra and came back to Perth, and I really wanted to spend time with my sisters. Now, my sisters and my aunt are avid Fremantle Dockers supporters, and they all have had membership for a long time. So I thought, well, I'm going to get membership and I can hang out with them. And took Samantha on. She was a two-week-old baby, slept through the entire games. And I've never been, you know, when you go to a football game, my goodness, you really see passionate encouragers cheering the teams on. My goodness, so amazing. And that's what we need to be doing, though. We need to have passion. How much passion should we have for other people and encouraging them, knowing that we're acting out of a cause for eternity. We need to be passionate encouragers. when you look at scripture in Genesis, it's very clear that the word says we have been designed in the image of God. So we have been designed to be in relationship with God and relationship with each other that is bound by love. In Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbour as yourself." So when we belong to God, we belong to each other. We are commanded to love one another, and we do this through encouraging in a way that inspires our friends to grow up in God, to love him, to love his word, and to love seeking him in all we do. John 13, 34 to 35, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So by this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is how people will see Christ in us. It's the way that we love other people. And anyone can do this. Anyone can be a fan or a cheering person at football or soccer or whatever it is. But as we love, as Christ does, that's when people will see that difference in us. I'm just so blessed with the stories that I hear of how different people in our campuses are loving each other that other people don't see. And I often hear many, many people come to me and they will mention Carly and say, "She's helped us with this. She's helped us with budgeting. She's helped us with meals. She's taken us into our home." You know, this is how we love. It's not to receive acknowledgements or, to get a medal or something like that. We love because we know that God loves us. A long time ago, I had a friend who just emanated the joy of Jesus. She was just someone who just really, you could see Christ in her very, very clearly. She was very authentic, but you could see the joy in her all the time. And another friend of hers who wasn't a Christian, could see it too, and she's going, "What is it about her? What is it? I just can't pinpoint what it is. There's something different about her." And she ended up asking my friend, why do you have this joy? Why do you always have a smile on your face? And she was able to share the gospel with her. And she led her to salvation. And that's by being a lover of Christ, a follower of Christ, being sincere and just having the joy of the Lord in her heart. So my second point is, let's encourage to do good works. Hebrews 10:24, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." We really need to consider and think how we can inspire one another to put love into action, to love as God loves. How can you motivate someone to discover God's plan and purposes for their life? What can you do to motivate someone to have a passionate love for God? Who can you encourage today with a word of affirmation, a word of knowledge, or a prophetic word? What can you say or do that will help a friend to use their spiritual gifts or their natural gifts to build God's house? It's considering and thinking, how can I minister to other people? How can I actually spur others to love God so that they will go and, do the good things that God has called them to do? Susan and I had the great fun yesterday of spending money, going shopping, and I really wanted to get some resources for our leaders and thinking about their groups and what would be good for them. And there's so many good things out there. And anyway, we had a whole bunch of things, and we've trying to decide which ones to get. And you know what? We just got them all. We just got the lot. And you know, this year we're doing lots of different things in our Connect groups. That the leaders have, you know, come to me with what they want to do. And so we're doing a series on the power of Holy Spirit and being in God's presence. We're doing we're doing some women things on you know, having a fierce faith, really having a strong faith in God. And we've got several women's resources for all of our women's groups that, you know, for those corporate women who have busy lives, that's really going to speak into them. I'm writing a series on discovering your gifts and spiritual gifts and your you know, own design that we're doing. We're doing some finance courses this year to really align with our Rise Up vision and, you know, what we're doing this year. And there's just so many good things that we have thought of, because we want to motivate all of our people to love God, to do all the things that God has called them to do. We want to do everything we can to help our leaders with that. Last year, I witnessed so many Connect Group leaders, you know, really doing this scripture, encouraging people to love and to do good deeds. If you know Louis and Julie yet, and you have a chance to chat with them, you will soon realize that they have so much passion for God. They really, really do. And they love sacrificially. They will spend time with people. They will gather people around. Louis and Juliet run New Believers courses ongoingly. They run Alpha courses. They are just an incredible couple. I've just seen the people in their groups just growing in their faith so much. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Rose and Ed's group. Incredible answers to prayer for the people in their group. You know, when people come together and we pray for each other, we see God move. We really do. We see the power of God move in situations where it seems impossible. There's been healings, there's been work provided, there's been just incredible things that have happened in his group. Yeah. Whoever's in Graham's group who does the Revelation study, my goodness. I don't know what I'm going to do with that group, because people keep being added to this group, because you hear the passion in his teaching. It just comes out of him. You know, I can have a two-minute conversation with Graham and I'm so encouraged, because he speaks out of the Word of God. He speaks out of a life in knowing God and spending time in prayer in his Word. It just comes out. These are the people that are your leaders. These are the people that have wisdom, have a deep relationship with God, are passionate about who he is. We are incredibly blessed. And the purpose of thinking on how we can encourage others to love and to do what God has asked us to do is that we live a more and more blameless and obedient life and a fulfilling love life. So as we're helping each other to love and to do the good things, the kingdom of God grows and more people come to him. I just love, you know, finding out about different people and the gifts that they have. And Tanya, I think, is here. She's got an incredible artistic ability and has been doing these beautiful paintings of scriptures for people in our church. She has an evangelistic gift over her, and she reaches out to people. She brings them into church. She brings salvation to them. And then she gives them to us, and we're like, okay, we can now connect them and help them on their way. Incredible. Just incredible. So knowing that we are designed to be in relationship with God, with each other, to love and to encourage, we see how in 1 Corinthians it talks about the body of Christ. And, you know, I've mentioned a few different people who play their part, who use their gifts in our body. 1 Corinthians 12, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. And so it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. So you see that each person is essential to the body of Christ, to Christ's church. Your part within this church, within a connect group, is vital for your well-being and for everyone else in this church. If you're not using your gifts, if you're not encouraging other people, the body doesn't function as well. So important. I really want you to get that every single person here is vital to this church. And God has given you gifts. God has a purpose for your life and a plan for your life and a calling on your life. And he wants you to walk in that. He wants you to walk with him. And as we do that, we lead that blameless life. I love how science really just reflects what is said in Scripture. And I was doing some research on relationships and different things. In Proverbs 18, verse 1, it says that a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Looking at studies, and this is my next point, which is life together, meeting together. Studies on social isolation conclude that people without adequate social interaction die prematurely. Loneliness, this is incredible research. Loneliness is twice as dangerous as obesity. Social isolation impairs your immunity. It increases inflammation, which can lead to arthritis, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease. 40% of adults say they are lonely. 40%. This is twice as much since the 1980s. Social media and our engagement with technology has a lot to do with that. It's making our loneliness worse. And loneliness has become a shameful state of being. these statistics, these are statistics from solid research, you know, and when you think about it, being isolated, being alone, like Proverbs 18 talks about, has incredible negative consequences. We are designed to be in relationship with each other. That is how God has designed us to be. And when we're not, heart disease, low immunity, it's all bad. There was a couple in our Connect group a few years ago who had some really difficult things going on. They were suffering with anxiety, with depression, had a lot of marriage stuff that they were contending with. And they very easily could have isolated themselves, you know, as a lot of people do, but they chose not to. When everything within them said, I just can't go to Connect Group, they actually made that conscious decision to go. And they did that because they knew that they needed to be around people who would support them and care for them through that time. And we did that. We were able to really nurture them, and they came through, and they have a really great marriage, came through the anxiety, depression. We really supported them over that period of time. It was the right decision for them to do. So the positives of encouraging relationships, the positives of being in relationship with one another, increased happiness, a better immune system, reduced stress, reduced depression, reduced risks of cardiovascular disease. There were some studies that were done on cancer patients who were part of support groups, and they reported having a better quality of life and they lived longer. There are other studies that show that you are likely to live longer when you have strong friendships, which is an effect that is twice as strong as exercising and equivalent to quitting smoking. Amazing. I don't think there's anything that is negative about having, you know, friendships and being in relationship with one another. So how do we live out Hebrews 10? Well, first things first, we need to stay in close relationship with God. We need to have our daily time with God. We need to pray first. We also need to pray continuously. Pray in the Spirit, study the Word and wait on Him. John 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you, so abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love no one has than this, is that to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And loving as Christ does is loving sacrificially. It's loving with a generous spirit. We have often opened up our home to people, and there have been many times where people have asked me for things, and it may be the last money that I have, and I just give it. I'll just give it to God. Our love requires loving as Christ loved does require sacrifice and generosity. A really great prayer to pray is, who needs your love through me? Spending time in prayer and a few years ago I was praying for a particular person, and you know, when you pray for people, God will call you to act. And I was praying for this person, and God said, I want you to give a gift for her each week. Sure, I can do that. I had great compassion for her. I loved her. I really wanted to bless her, and I wanted to act in obedience to what God has spoken to me. And it was incredible because I didn't know her super well, and it really required a lot of prayer. Well, Lord, what do you want to give her? And I would pray and I would seek him, and I love just giving generously to her and blessing her and seeing what God did through that. Love requires sacrifice and generosity. And the third thing is just do it. Pray and just do it. You know, obey. Act on what you hear from God. Love as he loves. Allow him to transform your heart and your mind and step into those things that God asks you to do. So let's really get connected this year. Let's really get connected into a small group. Let's not neglect meeting together as some people do, but let's really connect in and encourage one another, motivate one another, inspire each other to grow up in God and to enjoy all the things that he has for us as we do his will. And hold on to the hope that we have in him and who he is. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. He is a good, good father. He really is. He is a good, good father. I'm going to ask you to take out your get connected cards. And I would like every person, as I said, every person is vital to this church. So I would like every person to complete this If you're in a connect group, can you please put which one you're in down as well? And there's different options if you need to speak to me about which connect group that you would like to be a part of, but you're not quite sure, please have a chat with me afterwards.